Hello, listeners. This episode, we are going to talk about the Dodd-Frank Act and kind of like start to talk about 2008 and the things that led up to the Great Recession. So for those who don't know or can't remember, I was fairly young in 2008. I only graduated high school in 2015. And college in 2019. So I was not in any kind of working position in 2008. So it definitely affected me a lot different. I saw my parents go through this and kind of just heard snippets from them. Although even they really worked hard to make sure that my life wasn't affected by it, which is like really, really awesome of them and commendable. So, in 2008, America went into an economic recession. Obama came into office that year and wanted to enact provisions to help reduce the damage from this and put in place the Dodd-Frank Act in 2012. It was suggested by two senators, and actually their names are Dodd and Frank. And they were kind of the ones, I think one was Connecticut, another was Massachusetts or Delaware, I cannot remember. But, it's a huge, huge, huge act, in response to the crisis to help regulate some things. In 2018, this act has actually been really criticized for being almost too restrictive when it comes to people being able to get mortgages. And so in 2018, the Trump administration repealed a lot, many portions of it, which however you feel about that is your own opinion. I'm not really going to go in and get into that, but I just want to kind of present the facts, and then you can make your own opinions about them. But for the test, it really doesn't matter about your opinions, so just keep that in mind. So let's talk about 2008. So Dodd-Frank is to make sure that borrowers can actually be able to repay any debt that they took on. After 2008, this was a huge, huge thing that the country as a whole needed to regulate a little bit more. So after 2001, the government allowed more people to be able to borrow money by lowering the cost of borrowing, so lowering interest rates. With increasing home prices and cheap interest rates, people borrowed a lot of money and bought a lot of homes. So all good things must have come to an end, and the government raised the interest rates, and all those people with fluctuating interest rates, like ARMs, now owed way more than they did before, right? So with a ton of people defaulting and having their home foreclosed, creditors would put it up on the market. But if enough people do that, the market is now flooded with homes. So because there was so many that came onto the market, basic supply and demand now meant that the home price then fell. Because you have so many, it's not a scarce commodity. It becomes cheap, right? So if you still had your home, it didn't make much sense to keep paying, so those homes were repossessed and put out on the market too. So on top of the fact that people weren't able to pay their high interest rates, now there were people who didn't see the need to because the home price just dropped, and that really kept the cycle going, right? Because more and more people's homes were entering the market, and no one was buying them off the market. So the falling home prices affected homeowners. The worth of their most valuable thing was dropping, and it was dropping really, really fast. Banks don't service loans, and many times they sell to companies which compile the debt into one big amount and then allow people to come in and invest on that amount, right? So that's kind of like your loan servicers will sell shares of that out. So people can invest in that. With the Great Recession, those investors then lost their money, obviously. So people's pensions and retirement plans many times invested in this too, and then all of a sudden not only had one's property value diminished, so had their stocks and their retirement. So it affected like three really big areas that affected so many Americans. So because people had significant loss of money, they spent less money, affecting the business supply chain. Businesses didn't need as many people to produce the stuff because the demand wasn't there. That meant that people experienced job loss or had their salaries cut. So you can definitely see how this was a huge problem, and subprime mortgages were at the center of it, right? So another really big part of the Dodd-Frank Act is the CFPB, or the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They are the people to focus on the consumer side. So when the Dodd-Frank covers the Financial Stability Oversight Council, and that one is more about directed at bank monitoring and the too big to fail banks that would really, really pose a risk to the economic system. And that if they did fail, then that would be another 2008 because that side is something that we can definitely focus on in a different episode, but the CFPB wants to focus on the consumers, and it makes sure that the people who participate and work to get loans in the financial systems are protected from predatory or unsavory behavior. And so they would hope to bring the economy back and reduce subprime lending. They want to clarify the mortgage terms so that people knew exactly what they were tying themselves to. Mortgage lenders' fees were capped. Commission was redone. And things are done so lenders wouldn't push borrowers towards products that would only benefit the lender and their commission. And may actually harm the borrower, which was unfortunately actually happening. The argument against the Dodd-Frank Act has to do with making the United States less competitive in respects to other foreign countries. They also say that it negatively affects small banks and businesses that had nothing to do with 2008. And they were small banks got hurt in 2008. And then the Dodd-Frank Act negatively affected them also. So in 2018, there were laws put in place to ease some of the regulations on them. But so on small and medium-sized banks, and I think that the limit is like $100 to $250 billion. It's something in that range. Of what defines who is not affected by the Dodd-Frank Act. But the big banks like Wells Fargo, JP Morgan, etc., they are still required to follow the traditional Dodd-Frank rules, but the small credit unions, the small banks have eased regulations. So for the refinance situation from a Quizlet that I'm going to include in the show notes and description, so refinancing a higher price mortgage may not result in a higher balance, balloon payment, or negative amortization. Laws oversight for TRID. So this is from the consumerfinance.gov. They say that the TRID rule implemented the Dodd-Frank Act's directive to combine certain mortgage disclosures that consumers receive under TILA and RESPA, and requires that all creditors use standardized terms for most transactions. Creditors are also required to provide loan estimates and closing disclosures within 3 business days. So these are the closing disclosure and the loan estimate are specific documents that lay out the cost that the borrower is taking on along with the loan amount. And so that is really important for them to know, and they need to have this clarified for them. You know, it's something that I think before the Dodd-Frank Act and before TRID and rules like that, they were a bit on the murky side, and so this is just a way to clarify that and make sure that the consumer knows exactly what they're getting into and they aren't taking on any other risk or any other responsibility that they weren't initially signing up for. The Dodd-Frank also covers things like whistleblowers. That is something that I have not seen on the test, but it is convenient to know about the Dodd-Frank Act. So whistleblowers are people who are basically snitches. It's the more professional way to say snitches. And it will protect people who want to talk about their company and report illegal behavior by their company. And it also extends who is protected. So it protects not only the employees of the company that is doing the illegal behavior, but it also protects employees who work for affiliated companies, subsidiaries, etc. You can also get a bounty so that if you report illegal behavior, then you can get a percentage of the settlement. The statute of limitations was also changed on this too, which I think I might have talked about earlier in another episode about statute of limitations with the USA Patriot Act, but this is statute of limitations for illegal behavior that the Dodd-Frank Act would actually care about. So all of these help to protect the consumer from getting themselves into being unable to pay for the mortgage that they've been taking on or the debt that they take on, and making sure that the companies that lend out money are not just trying to foreclose on the borrower, but they're actually trying to do their job in good faith. So I hope that helped. Next week, I am hoping to put out the TILA episode. It is a large one. If I don't do TILA, I may do another regulation, or I may talk about mortgage products or math. It depends, but I am going to work hard on the episodes and really excited about it.